Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Job chapter 11. Job chapter 11, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then answered Zophar, the Naamathite, and said, should not the multitude of words be answered? And should a man full of talk be justified? Should thy lies make men hold their peace? And when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed? For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against thee, and that he would know thee, and that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven, what canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he cut off and shut up or gather together, then who can hinder him? For he knoweth vain men. He seeth wickedness also. Will he not then consider it? For vain man would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt. If thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hands toward him, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast, and shalt not fear, because thou shalt forget thy misery, and remember it as waters that pass away. And thine age shall be clearer than the noonday, and thou shalt shine forth. Thou shalt be as the morning, and thou shalt be secure, because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety. Also, thou shalt lie down, and none shall make thee afraid. Yea, many shall make suit unto thee. But the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Once again, we have a complex passage in that Zophar here has some things to say that are quite truthful, considered in themselves, and yet they are poorly applied to Job and to his situation. And this is the difficulty. When Zophar speaks, he speaks things that are, generally speaking, true. When he talks about the immensity and incomprehensibility of God, he speaks the truth. When he applies, or in the way that he applies that incomprehensibility to Job, he speaks falsehood. He is mistaken about who Job is. And being mistaken about who Job is he will be chastised for that at the end of the book, as we already read, for the proclamation of the Lord's forgiveness in Job chapter 42 today. We heard that the Lord say to Zophar and to Eliphaz and to Bildad that they have not spoken the things right concerning me as it regards my servant Job. So we could use Zophar's words here, and we could speak of the immensity and incomprehensibility of God, and we would be well served in doing so, because he speaks truly. We could speak of the fact, and it is indeed an undeniable fact, that considered absolutely, Job has not yet been punished for what he deserves. What is it that we deserve, brothers and sisters? Let us remember that we deserve, because of our sins, everlasting separation from the comfortable presence of God and most grievous torments, both in body and soul, without intermission, in hellfire forever. That's what we deserve. And yet, let us not misapply to one another. Let us not surmise evil motives of one another. Let us not take one another's words and consider them in such a way that we put them in such a bad light that we expect the worst rather than the best of one another. It has become fairly obvious at this point, as there is one chapter and then two of Job's reply, one from a friend and two of Job's reply, that what we have here, as the old comedian said, is a failure to communicate. They're talking past one another. One of the uses, and I think it's a good use, that James Durham makes in his lectures on Job at this point, is he says, let us be careful when we interact with one another, truly to interact with one another and not to talk past one another. How very often have we seen such things? Talking around or past one another, not hearing one another. You've all seen this happen. Maybe you've done it yourself. Maybe you've been guilty of it. I know I have in time past. I pray that I never will again, and as the Lord gives grace. You see two people talking to one another, and it may be some disagreement, some pressing of maybe a theological issue or practical issue. And what you'll find is while one person is talking, the other person is looking at him, but he's fogged over because really what he's thinking about is he's formulating his next argument rather than hearing one another. This is what's going on here with Job and the three friends. While Job is speaking, Zophar is loading his guns rather than hearing Job, hearing his cries in his most extreme difficulty. Now, Job is not upright as well, as we will see in the ensuing chapters and as we've already seen. The difficulty here is that there is fault on both sides. And so Job speaks unadvisedly. And in the times that he speaks unadvisedly, he invites more suspicion on the rest of his speech, doesn't he? This is a very interesting point. One of those points that it's very difficult to get across. We have this understanding when we have a difficulty with folks that if they misbehave, we can also misbehave. And we would never come out and say it like that. The way we say it is we just kind of give ourselves leave to let out a little bit because, you know, can't you see what they're doing to me? That was not the policy of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he was mistreated, maintained a righteous aspect from the beginning of his earthly life to the end of it. And never once did he, quote unquote, let it out because he was being mistreated. But his behavior was righteous throughout. The way Peter says it is, when he was reviled not again. What great discipline that requires. What great spirituality. What great lifting up from our natural abilities does that require? Job and his friends in the ensuing chapters are going to begin now to tell each other to be quiet. They're tired of talking to one another. They've moved beyond reason and reasoning with one another. And so as we consider the words of Zophar, let's remember that Zophar says some good things. He talks about sin. He talks about God searching out sin. He talks about God's punishing sin. And he's right, considered generally, in all of those things. He also talks about repentance and turning to God. And brothers and sisters, I could do no better than Zophar here and tell you to turn to God if you're sinning. But in his assumptions that Job is a hypocrite and unrighteous. Well, those are ill-founded. And yet they tend to inform what he says. And so this is the difficulty that we see here with Zophar. We'll continue to see during these discussions. All right, let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of Psalms. Turn with me in your Psalter, please, to Psalm